If you have your Bible, Psalm chapter number 61, I want to speak to you this morning. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a help. As I stand here to preach today, I can do nothing within myself to heal your physical illness. I can do nothing within myself to mend your broken heart. But I know somebody that can, and I pray today that as we open the Word of God, as we read it, that we can allow God to work in our life, because times things hurt in our life. We don't understand. There's been a lot of books been written like this. Why does bad things happen to good people? And I'd like to be able to answer that today. And I don't really know. Well, I do know why, because the Bible teaches us why and tells us why things like that do happen. But listen, we ought not be shocked by what's going on around about us. Everybody I talk to, I say something about 2020, and they say, boy, 2020 has really been a year, hasn't it? I would venture to say that it's been one of the craziest years that I've ever seen, and seen things that I've never seen, and probably you haven't either. But yet we understand that still God's working, in whatever ways He's working, we have to follow Him and trust Him along the way. So we come to Psalm chapter number 61. Here's what we find. We find a psalm. It was written by David. And of course, the scholars have come together and determined that perhaps it was written at the end time, the time after his son Absalom had been killed. And we find here a man that is walking through one of the deepest and darkest valleys of his day. We find that as he walks through this valley, we find that he's walking through one because his son Absalom has rebelled against him. Friend, there's no harder thing to deal with, I think, than the fact of a child rebelling against their parents or going in an opposite direction of the way their parents do. That creates a burden like you've never seen before or understood. But what was happening here, Absalom had done his best to take his father's throne in his father's life. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a bad thing for somebody to seek to kill someone, but for a man's own son to seek to kill him, how devastating it must have been. David had been hunted by the soldiers of Absalom. David had been hunted by them and by his own son. And literally, Absalom had done everything in his own power to destroy him. And I'm going to tell you, the only reason that David survived it is the only reason you and I survive anything is by the grace of God. We're in the hands of God today, and we understand that it's God that takes care of us. He's our defense. He's our strength. He's our tower in our times of trouble. But now we come, and this psalm is written after the rebellion is over. Absalom is dead. And here he is going back in his heart, remembering the good times, the times that he and his son had had. They had been estranged at one time, but even back then they were able to work it out and to get it behind them. And no doubt David was hoping that that would happen again. Yet it did not happen again, so we find him with a broken heart. And I want to speak to you today out of Psalm 61 on sorrow's sweet song. Understand, the book of Psalms is songs, and many of those songs David would sing and play upon his harp. And yet today, and I believe this to be one of them, to where he took his harp and he played this song that as he cried out to God. But as we come, David's sweet song finds him seeking help in his heart from the Lord. I want to submit to you today, our help comes from the Lord. He's the only one that we can turn to, the only one that we can look to in our time of need. And I want you to see today that as we understand that pain and things come in our hearts and lives, things we don't understand. I think about the deaths that we've had this year. I think about Donna and Robert today as they're probably at the bedside of her father and this decision that has to be made. I think about Miss Judy and the things she's going through. And I understand some of you today, and also I didn't have it down, but continue to pray if you would for Miss Betty West. She's still struggling, having a very difficult time. But I think of things that people are going through. And number one, if you're not going through anything, you ought to thank God this morning that you're healthy and well and able to be in the house of God. If you are going through something this morning, you need to trust God and turn to Him in your time of need in order that He might bless you and meet your need. The first thing I want you to see is David comes with a broken heart. David comes burdened with things in his life, and I know going through a very difficult time. He says in verses 1 and 2, he said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I do pray now that you would bless. I pray that you'd guide and direct. I pray that you'd give us the wisdom and the help that we need. And Father, I pray that you would bless this message this morning. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So the first thing we notice is sorrow's request. The sorrow in David's heart, he makes in this psalm, he makes three requests to the Lord. I want to look at them a little bit and talk about them. The first one is, he says, Lord, hear me. Basically, he said, hear me, O God. I tell you today, I don't know if any of us is going through a difficult time that when we do pray, that we do not want God to hear us. Oftentimes, we have to be brokenhearted. Oftentimes, we have to be mashed down or go through some difficulty in our life to make us cry out to God in our time of need. Now understand what had happened. Not only had Absalom rebelled against David, and not only had he sought to kill David, and not only had he sought to take his kingdom away and destroy him forever, but at the end of the journey, in the end of the rebellion, we find Absalom on his mule going under a tree. Obviously, he had long hair, and his hair got caught in the limbs of the tree. Somebody said, man, that sounds crazy. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the Bible, God just tells us like it is, and that's exactly the way it happened. And by the way, if God wants to take someone's life, he can grab them by the head of the hair and do whatever needs to be done. And so here's Absalom. He rides under the limb, gets his hair caught in the limbs. The mule goes on, and he's literally hanging there. Joab, one of David's men, had been instructed by David. They were looking for Absalom. David wanted Joab and his men to go out and find Absalom and bring Absalom back. I tell you today, if you had a wayward son, you would wish that somebody close to you could get through to them to bring them back to the place where they needed to be. But unfortunately, when Joab came upon Absalom hanging from that tree, you know what he did? He did what David told him not to do. And he smote Absalom, and Absalom died. I don't know today, but if you've ever lost a child, you'll know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But Absalom and David's relationship had been stormy. They had been estranged. But from a broken heart, dealing with the fact of his son's rebellion, but even greater than his son's rebellion. And could I remind you this morning that no matter how much rebellion may come from our children, they're still our children, and we love them from the depth of our heart. And yet we find David as he comes before God, and listen, he gets to the point where he cries out, and he's overwhelmed, and he wants God to hear him, and he wants God to respond to him. And sometimes we think the Lord does not care about us. Have you ever got to that point where you felt like God just did not care? Now, I know David's crying out and he's saying, hear my cry, O God. He wants God to hear him. But you know, I want to let you know this morning that God will hear you if you pray with a pure heart. The Bible said in Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee. It showed thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm glad today that you can pray with confidence that God will hear you. I want you to know this morning, I don't care who you are, makes no difference where you've been or what you've done, God knows you, okay? Especially those of us who are saved by the grace of God. Job said in Job 23:10, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, he said, I shall come forth as gold. I'm glad today that he knows the way that I take. I tell you what, I don't know. I don't know about tomorrow, but he does. He knows exactly what's going to happen in our life every day that we live. He invites us to come to him. He cares about us. He said in 1 Peter 5:7, he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am easy and lowly at heart. Friend, I want you to know God has promised to hear you and to help you in your time of need. So we find here, he's crying out, Lord, hear me. And I'm going to tell you something. And I don't want to get off away from a message because I'd never get through if I did. But you say, well, how can I be assured that God will hear? The first thing you better be sure of is that your heart is right with God. The Bible said if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. Now, that's not part of the message this morning, but I can tell you, if you ever feel like God's not coming through, it may be because you haven't come through and confessing your sin and getting right with God. That may not always be the case. It may be sometimes that you cry and feel that God does not hear you. And so David, in his brokenheartedness, he's crying out, Lord, hear me. Second of all, he says, Lord, help me. He says, hear my cry, attend to my prayer. For the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed, and lead me to a rock that is higher than I. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, David physically is saying, I believe, that he feels that he's as far away physically from God as he can get. When he fled from Absalom, he went to a place called Mahanaim, where a wealthy old man named Barzilla took care of David and his men. You can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 17. Mahanaim was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. It belonged to one of the tribes of Gad, one of the 2.5 tribes who remained on the other side of Jordan when Israel conquered and settled Canaan. And David literally feels like he's at the end of the earth. And from a Jew's perspective, he was far away from the tabernacle. He was far away from the place of worship. You know, that's what happens to people. They get in a bind, and what they do is when they begin to cry out to God to hear them, and they cry out to God to help them, he don't seem to be nowhere near, but it may be because they've moved so far away from him that they feel deserted and lonely, because they've gotten so far away from God. I tell you today, I hear people talk about this pandemic and all that's been going on. People come back to church and say, boy, it's good to be back in church. And I tell you today, it ought to bother you. It ought to burden us. And again, I realize there's some people that still are staying out and need to stay out for various reasons and understand all that. But I tell you what, that should not quench the burning desire in our heart to be in the house of God, to hear the Word of God, to serve God, to love God, to be faithful to God in every area of our life. He said, I've been overwhelmed, and Lord, I need your help. I wonder, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like you've been cut off from God? Have you ever been to the place where you felt like you was far away from Him? Sin can produce such a feelings. And I tell you today, you cannot abide in sin and sense the presence and the power of God in your life. You must understand sin must be confessed. When the time of problems come, the difficulties and trials of life envelop our heart, it drains the energy right out of us, and we feel as if we've been left all alone. But the right place to go. I'm glad today that God's called me to preach the Word of God, and I'll pray for you, and I'll help you any way I possibly can. But can I remind you this morning, the ultimate help is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the only one that can deliver you. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3, he said, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I tell you again, he said in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him, listen, in truth. I tell you today, if you're a child of God and you get away from God, if it don't bother you, I'd be doing some checking up to be sure that I was a child of God. Friend, today I tell you, if you can go through life and never think about God except maybe on Sunday, or if you can go through life and never think about God and His blessings to you and you can ignore Him, then friend, I really wonder if you've ever truly been born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible does say broad's the way that leads to destruction, don't it? And we find today that many people have no sense of desire to serve God. I love the fact David was a sinful man. But the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart because he knew where to go in his time of need. He said, Lord, hear me. He said, Lord, help me. And then he said, Lord, hide me. I like this. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I read that, I began to picture in my mind being by the seashore and being some mountains and some rocks on the side of the mountain. And the waves coming in, I saw a video a few months ago, and there were some people like in Hawaii or somewhere, and they had walked to some rocks, and they were looking at the beautiful ocean, and the waves were crashing in, and they were getting as close to it as they could to take pictures, when all of a sudden, a huge wave out of nowhere appeared before them, and as they turned to run, the water came and slapped them down and washed them back out. I don't know what the outcome of it was. It didn't give it. But I tell you what they did is they waited too late to seek the rock that was higher than them. But yet I pictured in my mind how somebody would be trying to get away from a wave or a tsunami, and they would want to find the highest rock they could get to so that they could hide in their time of trouble. We find David cries out to God to lift him from the threatening waves of sorrow that would whisk him away. David needs the Lord to do something. He needs him to do something that he cannot do for himself. Friend, those people were at the mercy of that wave. But yet God was still in control and he could have saved their lives. I heard the other day out in Yellowstone National Park, somebody fell in one of their volcanoes, one of their geysers. I don't know about you, but they're very hot. And I've seen them. I've seen the steam come. And they fell in, and it amazes me. I don't know all the details of it, but they got him out. And they airlifted him to a hospital where he had severe burns on his body. But he lived. Only God could deliver him out of that geyser. He could not have done it himself. He had to come. Thank God for such a rock as the rock of Jesus to stand on. There's a place of safety. There's a place of refuge that we can run to in our time of need. There's a place we can flee in the time of our trouble and our sorrow and our suffering. There's a place where the storms cannot come. There's a place where the winds cannot blow and the waves cannot reach us. There's a safe haven, and His name is Jesus. He's a rock that is higher than I. In Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I thought about this. I have flown on several occasions. Cal lives in an airplane just about as much as he travels. And oftentimes he'll send pictures of clouds. He'll put it on Facebook and you'll see the beauty of God's creation. But I guess one thing that intrigues me is the skyscrapers of New York or some of the big cities. When you're there, they are gigantic. In fact, we went to New York. Susan and Jocelyn went along with us, and we were there, and they were ready to scale the Empire State Building, not on the outside, but through the inside. And they were ready to go up the Empire State Building, or there was another building there. I forget where they wanted to go. I just told them it was all right with them. I just stay on the ground. I wasn't really too crazy, especially after some planes have been hitting some of them high buildings. But them buildings are magnificent. But you know what? When you get in an airplane and you fly over them, they look like a Tinker toy set. Those buildings look so small from the higher range. And friend, when you get to the rock of Jesus, when you get up high enough and you begin to look down at the problems of this life and of this world, you'll be convinced that those problems are nothing in the hand and in the sight of God. He is able to meet those needs and He's able to overcome those needs in our life if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, because He is a rock that is higher than us. I mentioned it a while ago. I said talking about we bring a lot of stuff on ourselves. Let me tell you why David was in the mess he was in to begin with. David was in the mess with his son Absalom rebelling against him for one reason. David had sinned against God with Bathsheba. I'll not get into the story, but he had sent for Bathsheba. They had a child together. He not only did that, but he had her husband murdered so that he could try to cover up his sin. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can't run and hide from God, and you can't escape the chastising hand of God. And you may think that everything's all right, and you can live any way you want to live and do any way you want to do, but I tell you, God will take the most precious thing in your life as quickly you can't even blink an eye if you rebel against God. And God not only did that, but if you'll remember, David's baby died. Now his son Absalom's gone. I could give you much other in the Bible. I've had time this morning to share with you all the consequences of David's sin. But the Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But I tell you, if we serve God, He knows what we need. He has the power to lift our burdens. He has the ability to meet our needs. We cannot handle any situation, but God can handle them all. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The sorrows of life are difficult. The second thing we notice, not only first of all we see sorrow's request, but we see sorrow's realization. He said in verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemy. The first stanza of the song was about sorrow. We find it has to do with the sorrow's request from God. The second stanza has to do with what sorrow realizes. In verses 1 and 2, he's crying out for help. In verse 3, he's recognizing, he's understanding the realization that God will help. This kind of sorrow is different from the sorrow the world feels. This kind of sorrow hurts, but it hurts with hope. Friend, today, I tell you today, my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The kind of sorrow knows there's a sovereign God who controls every path we take. The sorrow, which is influenced by faith, stops to consider a wonderful truth. A sorrow influenced faith realizes its present needs rest on God's past performance. And so what David does is begin the realization. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you serve God for any length of time, you ought to be able to recall and recollect the blessings of God upon your life. I saw a man yesterday. We was talking about our friends dying. We talked about the fact that we probably are not far behind. But yet both of us said about the same time, if God never blessed me again, He's blessed me more than I deserve and done more for me than I could ever imagine. Why would I forsake Him now? There's the realization of God's provision. He said, thou hast been a shelter for me. The word shelter means a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place of protection from the storms, from the danger, and from the error of our way. David looks back over his life, and he begins to remember, listen, God has never left me nor forsaken me. And furthermore, He never will. David realizes, he remembers God giving me victory. I think David in his mind probably said, I remember when God allowed me to kill a lion and a bear. He remembers God sheltering him from the murderous rage of King Saul. He probably remembers that fateful day when he came before the giant Goliath with nothing but a stone and a sling. And by the way, friend, if you don't know God did that, then something's wrong with you. Because it was God that directed that stone to the very place that it needed to be buried into Goliath's head to bring him down. He remembered how God had delivered him from the wrath of his own son. I tell you, David had been a hunted man. Literally, we talked about Brother Roscoe, and I'm sure miss him, but Brother Roscoe, we always kidded about him having 9 lives. He had so much happen to him. But I tell you, through all the years, he lived a good life, and I know he would love to live longer. We'd love for him to live longer, but obviously God didn't see fit to allow him to. But based on what had happened to him, Brother Roscoe should have been gone years ago. But you know what? The reason he wasn't is because the hand of God had met his needs and supplied his needs and blessed him along the way. David remembers how God had blessed him, how God had provided him a place of safety and protection. Based on God's past performance, David is certain. He knows God will not fail him now. He's a strong tower from the enemy. The word tower carries the idea of a high citadel, a place above the fight and the battle. Through all the attacks and the battles, the sorrow of life, God was with David. He provided for him a place of protection. He provided for him a place to flee. And I tell you, this is the sense which God gave David, a raised bed, a place in the peace of peace in the day of battles, a sorrow which is influenced by faith looks back. Did you hear me? I said a sorrow which is influenced by faith looks back. It realizes how God has worked in our past. I don't understand people that God blesses in the past and then some trial comes their way and they go berserk and they're crying out to God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Friend, I can assure you, we don't need to be blaming God. There's a reason for it all. But yet we do know that He will stand with us in our time of need. And friend, could I remind you this morning, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can put our trust in Him. I tell you, 2000 was a very difficult year for me. I lost my son, I lost my parents. And I tell you, it was just a bad year. Now, exactly 20 years later, 2020 has been devastating. We've seen things happen like we've never seen before. But friend, the God of 2000 is the God of 2020. And He'll be the God of 2021 and however long He leaves us here in His care. In verse 4, we find sorrow's resolve. There's an answer. Here's what David said. He said, Thou hast been a shelter to me, in verse 3, a strong tower from the enemy. And here's what he said. He said, I've come to the conclusion, I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. Because faith informs sorrow has poured its request to God, and because it realizes that God's able to deal with the problem, David resolves to do right with God. Would you not admit that God's been good to us? Then why in the world would we not be good to Him? Why in the world do we forsake Him and walk away from the blessings that He has bestowed upon us? Yet so many people do. First of all, David resolves to live in commitment to God. He said, I'll abide in Thy tabernacle forever. Never underestimate the importance of the house of God. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, David was not a priest, and he was not allowed to live in the tent of the meeting. David was not thinking about a physical tent, the tabernacle, but he was thinking about the eternal abode in heaven. The word abide means to dwell as an overnight guest. And David is saying, I can't live in the tent down the road, but I can dwell with you forever and forever. And friend, could I remind you, this place is nothing more than the house of God. And I tell you what, when there's nobody here, He's not here. But friend, He's here with us every time we meet. He does not have the information about what God is going to do. But here's what He says. He said, I'm determined. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be faithful to Him. And Lord, You can count on me, and one day I'll dwell with You forever. This should be our resolve as well. When our heart is breaking, if you belong to God, You ought to understand what Romans 8, 28 says. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Our duty is to trust God regardless of the circumstances and determine in our hearts to commit our way to Him. Second of all, resolve to live in confidence. David said, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. The word covert speaks of a covering, a hiding place, a place of safety. I've used the illustration before of a storm raging against the rocks and there being a branch and a bird's nest, and the birds are up under the cleft of the rock, peaceful as they can be as the storm rages around us. You know, we need to settle down upon the rock that is Jesus and understand that as the storms raise, sorrow comes, that we're going to resolve to live in confidence that God knows what's best for our life. Friend, today the child of God should not be hysterical. I think of this, and many of you know, but we've had a lot of people go through this. There's a lot of people that learn that their death is imminent at any time. That's a rough sentence. That's a difficult news. Most people I know say, well, hope when my time comes, I just go quickly. That would be the way we desire. But it might not be the way God desires. And David resolves to cast himself completely upon God, upon the grace of God, trusting in Him to sustain him through it all. And we can't protect ourselves, but He can protect us. There's a God in heaven who loves His people. He said, we are the sheep of His pasture. And yet today Jesus died for us. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And as part of His relationship with us, He committed Himself to perpetual care. Cemeteries, many of them have what they call perpetual care. That means that they'll take care of the groundwork for the rest of, for eternity, I guess, as long as they're living, the city of Thomasville or whatever. They'll take perpetual care. Friend, today, it makes it look good at the cemetery, but friend, it's the Lord Jesus that gives us perpetual care in meeting our every need along the way. I just want to encourage you this morning. I want this to be a message of hope. I want it to be a message of joys, but regardless of what you're facing or what you come through in life, no matter what you're going through, and all of us, learn to rest in the Lord. Trust in Him to do what is right. Inform your sorrow with faith in the Word of God and the God of heaven. And you too can sing sorrow's sweet song. They say an eagle has an extra eyelid. When he closes this lid, it filters out the light, but he can still see. He's not blinded by the sun. When an eagle is attacked by a flock of other birds, the eagle will close that extra eyelid and fly directly toward the sun. His enemies cannot continue their pursuit when the eagle turns his face toward the sun. When the enemies of life turn your face toward the sun, the S-O-N, and fly to Him, and your enemies will fall by the wayside. Sorrow's sweet song, God has been so good to me. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the blessings that You bestow upon us. And Lord, I pray today that You would guide and direct in our life. Lord, I pray that You'd give us wisdom. I pray that You'd give us help. Lord, today I pray that everyone here is saved. Lord, if we're saved, we ought to have a desire to serve You and to love You. And Father, today I pray that You would speak to hearts here today. Father, we realize that nothing can be done except You do it. And Father, I pray today that Your hand would be upon us. Bless in a special way. Guide and direct, we pray. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Hymn number
504, 504. We'll sing.